This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. Our next story is about Anwar and the Election Commission. But first, we have a ton of messages about reckless driving and lifetime bans. We were talking about this earlier, and all of you are incredibly passionate about this.
Yes. So there are a couple of different groups of messages, I think. A number of people want to see professional transport drivers.
Right.
And think that the companies need to be more in charge of that. Wilson, for example, says sometimes the lorry condition is too old and that might be the cause of the accident, so the MOT should look into regulations to force companies to update or refresh their vehicles. Others want a more comprehensive driver's registry. Others yet say, yes, classes, you know, it needs to start there. Kelvin, please also charge JKR for all the potholes that caused the accidents.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy, before lifetime bans, enforce the demerit system properly first. She's here and taking a softer approach, saying if the reckless driver dies due to it, that's punishment enough for them. I don't know whether you mean whether they cause death or if they die. Because if they die, then it's a moot point. Lifetime driver's license revocation should be considered, but dealing with the causes of reckless driving is the better long-term option. Is says, the lifetime ban on a driving license, I seriously disagree. Yes, they can ban the person from its specific class, but if I'm a single parent and that's what I can do, then how do I feed my family? Brim is not sufficient. I propose, yes, ban on the type of class, but can still drive or ride smaller vehicles so I can at least earn an income. So ban-wise, find a solution and ensure the driver improves his attitude or her attitude in driving. Ed, reckless driving should not focus on cars alone. The most reckless user of the road, motorcyclists, running over traffic lights, driving against traffic, that's a normal occurrence.
Yes, I think there is truth to a lot of those sentiments. It is not an easy problem. There's a lot of nuance in this conversation as well. It's not just as simple as, well, you caused the death, so therefore you can never drive again for the rest of your life.
In a way, the complexity of the conversation is why a lifetime ban is so appealing, I think, because it's so complex that the idea of, you know what?
Enough, la.
Just ban them.
Let's just nuke them all.
Exactly.
Right?
There's something that's appealing about that. But I think the point about, yes, how are people supposed to earn money if they can't drive? That's very relevant.
Taking a look at our next story for the day. As you know, Saturday is going to be the big by-election in PD. Probably the biggest one in a long time because...
We've had so many, though. How can you tell?
Well, yeah, I know, right? Seven people in contest against Anwar Ibrahim, of course, who... is at the moment supposed to be our next prime minister. That's why this is such a big by-election.
I never get tired of saying seven-cornered fight. There's something so delicious about it. I don't know.
It's like a Dungeons & Dragons dice.
Yes.
Seven-cornered. Seven rolls.
Yeah.
Seven-cornered dice.
I'm going to pretend I relate to that. Yes, Uma.
That is a reference that you totally relate to. Roll for endurance. Anyway, so there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on with Anwar Ibrahim and this by-election. There have been a lot of complaints lodged by his competitors, for example. There was talk of a big concert that was going to be held with Awi.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you need to bring in the votes? You bring in someone who was just charged with the wife battery, right, to a concert. Anyway, so all of this is happening in PD on the 13th, and the Election Commission has kind of come out and said, wait, watch yourself, right? Don't do anything that could contravene Election Commission laws.
To which Anwar responded, we do things according to the law and rules. We respect Bersih and the EC. Because of that, they should not abuse their power. Don't be too much.
Don't be too much, lah.
Haven't we all heard that before?
But no, hey, you know what? First off, right off the bat, this is a pretty interesting change, right? Anwar Ibrahim, of course, being from Pakatan Harapan, that is the government in power, having an election commission that is having some semblance of independence and actually advising everyone in equal manner is a far cry from what we saw before GE14, where, you know, if you were in power, then you were held to a different standard from those who weren't.
Now we're getting to the point where there's even sort of a side story about Anwar Ibrahim riding in Mat Sabu's car and whether or not that's a violation of sorts. And it's just the level of detail that we're looking at, the level of accountability that we want. I think it's incredibly heartening.
The chairman of the EC also came out and said that ministers are not allowed to campaign during working hours because they're ministers. And so during working hours, that is the use of, it is using government machinery to campaign. I like all of this. This is all very exciting.
I do, but are they being too much? That's the question,
that
really.
That is the question, right? So we're going to cross over now to Thomas Phan, chairperson of the pro-reform NGO Engage. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Thomas. So why do you think Bersih 2.0 and the EC criticize Anwar for attending that concert?
They are basically just reminding Anwar of the Election Offences Act, because it's quite clear in the Election Offences Act Section 8 and 15 that it would be an offence if someone were to spend money to organise an event that introduced a certain candidate. So I think the EC and Bursley are just doing their job, reminding the candidates that they need to abide by the election offences rule.
So we're going to get into the other things the EC has said about the upcoming by-election. They warned against using government machinery to campaign. Why is it important for the EC to say this?
I think the whole idea of having an election is that, and why we have the laws, the election laws, is to ensure that the candidates compete against each other in a level playing field. In other words, no candidate should have undue advantage over another. And so, of course, if a candidate is from the ruling government party, they will have a lot of access to government resources, which was clearly seen during the last government. They have no qualms about using government resources to help in their campaign and thereby giving advantage to themselves. And I remember during those times, the opposition, Pakatan, they were complaining about this, that it was unfair, you know. So why is Anwar now saying that, you know, it's unfair on him?
They also said that cabinet members and politicians who hold posts in the government must do campaigning outside their work hours, otherwise it's a misuse of their working hours. Is this a guideline or is there a penalty?
I think there's no specific penalty, but the election law did say that no government machinery is to be used by any candidate. I think this is not very novel idea, mooted or said by the EC chair, that even time, you know, belongs to the government. And I think he's correct. When we are paid to do a job, you wouldn't think of, you know, during your working hours, going off to do your own business and meet your own friends, right? So how much more if you're a minister, you should respect the hours that people expect you to be working instead of using it for your own political party purposes. So I think that's a very good point that the new EC chairman has brought up.
And going back to Anwar, what do you think his statement says about his belief in elections and how they should take place? Do you think it was just, you know, a slip of the tongue, or does it perhaps reveal more about his current views on how normal these election practices actually are, despite being in the eyes of Bursa and the EC an election offence?
I mean, like many politicians, you know, under the new environment, Malaysia Baru, it is new, you know, to obey election rules is a new thing, because over the years, it's become a culture to not obey them, to ignore them. So I think they are just, it's just old habits that they are used to. But I think under new Malaysia, we have a new EC chairman and a new independent. And therefore, I think Anwar and all politicians, both sides, you know, they need to realize that it's time that they take heed to the law that is existing there. This law was not created by EC or by Bursih, but they were created by Parliament. So they need to change the culture, the way they do their campaigning. I think it's just old habits.
Do our politicians need time to adjust to a stronger, more independent election commission?
I think Bursih and EC is reminding them that no action has been taken yet. But I think the time will come when action may be taken for violating the election laws. But I think for now, by giving warning and caution, you could say that EC and Brisbane, we are giving them time. But I think it cannot keep on going. Then what's the point of having election rules, you know?
Anwar also suggested that there should be means by which the electorate has more accessibility to candidates without necessarily bypassing the EC's rules and regulations. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is a reasonable statement. I think EC and Brisbane should more than be going beyond just saying you can't do this, you can't do that, but come up with clear guidelines what they can do so that they can effectively reach out to the voters and also present, you know, themselves and why they should be elected in that constituency. I think that is a reasonable request made by Anwar.
What are you hoping to see with the upcoming PD by-election?
I hope that all the candidates, you know, had a chance to present themselves and what they can offer to the PD voters, and that this election will be, it's not perfect as far as clean and fair, but certainly I think it has come a long way, and from here onward will be cleaner and cleaner and fairer and fairer. That's what I hope for.
Thomas, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Thomas Farn, chairperson of the NGO Engage. Saturday the 13th is going to be the day to watch. We're going to be talking about the PD by-election all week, I'm sure, across the station. It is quite exciting. And then, of course, on Saturday, we're going to be bringing you news reports as to what's going on and when the results actually come to light.
I just want to say it one more time, in the seven-cornered fight. So
seven
into it.
Seven-cornered fight. All right, keep it here on the Evening Edition. Don't go anywhere. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.